Welcome to the Visegrad Insight podcast from Central Europe on Central Europe.
It's Monday, 18th of December, 2023. We're just past the EU summit, which raised so many eyebrows and brought so much attention to the political dynamics around the table, during which Viktor Orban has been asked to grab a coffee, and then he claimed he went to a toilet, while the EU leaders took an unanimous decision to open negotiations for the EU accession of Ukraine, Moldova, and invite further talks with Bosnia and Herzegovina and Georgia. Now, the summit has brought a lot of attention, rightly so, because of Mr. Orban's behavior. First, because of his unexpected move to abandon the meeting venue at the moment when the decision has been taken, despite his claims that he would veto the opening of the accession negotiations with Ukraine. And at the same time, because he later blocked the money for having a centralized budget of the EU for the further support, multi-annual support of Ukraine war effort. And Viktor Orban has been considered to be pragmatic before, since he has received 10 billion EU funds from the Commission. The expectation was that he would make the necessary steps and amendments and agree on having a common EU budget to support Ukraine, since Hungary is receiving additional funds. Now, that hasn't happened. The EU leaders remain yet optimistic. Mr. Macron and Kaya Kallas said that as long as they're basically talks and the political language very, very big promises or threats are being made, but actual decisions are pushed through that deliver European solution, that's all fine. And they're okay in a way with Mr. Orban. But then everybody focus on Mr. Orban's role in the wider picture. One thing seems to be escaping people's attention, and that item on the agenda is Poland and Donald Tusk has been warmly welcomed in the EU. And I would dare to say that without the change in Poland, the summit, the EU summit that has just passed, wouldn't have been so successful. Unexpected results would not have taken place. So my name is Wojciech Przybylski. I'm editor-in-chief of Visegrad Insight. Agnieszka Omańska, director of our Europe on Edge program, is with us. And Agnieszka, I wanted to ask you to give us an overview of the political dynamics in Poland over the past week, including the summit. What has happened? What's so important that we should focus on?
Good morning. Thank you so much, Wojciech. This is true. I mean, you just mentioned Orban and his behavior. Of course, he has to learn that he will no longer have friends from Warsaw at the European level, because he might start feeling a little bit lonely with Donald Tusk back in power. Last week, there was a decisive moment for the Polish politics, almost after 2 months after the elections. Finally, Prime Minister Morawiecki had to say goodbye, and Donald Tusk is back as our prime minister. He had his exposé in which he rather focused on the social mood and why Poland and Polish people have to be more united, more together in those challenging, intricate times, than presenting a real political program, which was pretty atypical. However, they already, I mean, there as a coalition of the 15th of October, 15th, as it is said. So the ruling coalition.
So this was the date of the elections that Donald Tusk wants to be remembered as a turning point. And indeed, in the developments across the world of illiberal democracies, we have not yet seen such a turning point, a U-turn away from illiberal project. So hence he wants this new coalition government to be remembered by that date, 15th of October.
Exactly. But as it is a coalition, of course, the division of power is not going to be easily made, and everybody has to be, let's say, taken care of. So we already know some of the vice ministers, some of the directors, political directors. However, I have to admit that probably for the next month or at least 2 weeks, so by the beginning of New Year, everything in Poland, everything in the ministries are going to be is going to be made, scheduled, appointed, organized. Interestingly enough, the president Andrzej Duda expressed his willingness to cooperate with the new government, and he already signed in vitro law, which will enable families to get in vitro procedure refunded. And this amendment also will help with other issues when it comes to having new Polish citizens. And I think the signing of this law actually is rather showing that the president is going to act with the new government when the citizen's voice is going to be heard, because the in vitro law, the whole idea was actually put forward by the citizens, not by the ruling coalition itself. And presidents, I think he really wants to be seen rather as a strong person, a strong leader who is going to listen to the Poles, than a opposition president. It's because of the cohabitation. So he comes from the former governmental party. Right now we have another opposition. The changes are already happening. The permanent representative to the EU has been called back to Poland, and another one, Mr. Serafin, has been appointed to help Tusk with his European agenda, but also Poland with its European agenda. We saw interesting pictures of Mr. Serafin running through Brussels with documents for Ursula von der Leyen and Donald Tusk to be signed for the EU recovery funds for Poland. The Minister of Judiciary System already started some amendments when it comes to the judges and prosecutors. Poland will join the European Public Prosecutor's Office, but frankly speaking, there is a lot to be done. And Donald Tusk was supposed to meet with Kaja Kallas, the Estonian Prime Minister, to talk about the most burning issues for the eastern flank, for the Baltic states, and for Scandinavia, because this was the direction that Tusk pointed out in his exposé, that he has to and want to talk with this region within the EU. However, unfortunately, Kallas got tested positive with COVID, and the visit had to be rescheduled, I believe. I believe they are going to meet, and they really have to talk about building the coalition of common things. This would be a funny, wordplay in Polish for the previous government. But there is a need to be vocal again. Poland has to be vocal, and Donald Tusk is to some extent seen as a person that can help us, the European Union and Europe, fighting against autocratism, fighting against some EU skeptical voices rising in, such as the one in Germany, because the alternative for Germany, ultra-right, far-right party just won its first local election. And we hear many voices about left and right rising and having the possibility to be vocal. This is why European eyes should be focused, and are to some extent focused, at Donald Tusk.
Right. There is also now an expectation of repairing the relations between Poland and Germany. In the exposé that Prime Minister delivered last week, there weren't actually many items that would hint at prioritizing the relations between Poland and Germany from the new government of Poland. This is really interesting and will be the subject of much of analysis and speculation until anything happens. The second visit, as you mentioned, after Brussels was scheduled for the Nordics. Let's see who else got COVID. I remember a number of pictures and videos of Kaja Kallas hugging with a lot of other prime ministers at the summit. So the direction, nevertheless, that Poland indicated from the onset of the new government is going to be a more assertive, as mentioned in the speech by Donald Tusk on Tuesday Tuesday morning. The more assertive Poland means that Poland will use the security instruments and the build-up, military buildup, for reviewing the priorities of its foreign policy along the lines of the security demands, eastern flank of NATO, also EU-like-minded countries. This is why we're talking now more with the Nordics than with Hungarians and Slovakians, whose position towards NATO and Ukraine raise many eyebrows on both sides of the political aisle in Poland. I mean, the opposition and the government will likely be united in this front of continuing, defense posture and deterrence, but also supplies for Ukraine for not just as long as it takes, but until Ukraine really wins the war. As for Poland and the Baltics, that is an existential conflict. Now, this will be the primary lens through which the Polish-German relations should be assessed. A former ambassador to Berlin, Janusz Reiter, wrote in an op-ed for this weekend for the German press that it should be considered as a sign that Warsaw will want to talk to Berlin, but it will not be a comeback to the excellent relations that Poland and Germany has shared before 2015. And that will deliver, that will demand a lot of creativity, a lot of diplomatic effort on building up Polish position as an assertive country, and also a future-oriented country, coming as a voice of the region, but different region that we've seen before, but also looking into the partnerships and rallying up allies across Europe who are similarly like-minded on the security and Ukraine question and the Russian question as well. So I think that is really noteworthy. And while Poland will be building back democracy, democratic rule-based order in Poland, evaluating and auditing and then taking action when necessary, we already see some first steps being taken by the government, like replacement of the uniform and clandestine services chiefs by the decision of the College of Special Forces appointed by the new government. We will see at the same time that partners who might have been disregarding Polish government for the past 8 years will not have such an easy task when Poland is truly back in and amongst the top of the democratic countries in Europe. So saying that, I wanted to also highlight that the big debate is just about to happen with now full participation of Poland in shaping the priorities of the EU, the EU next strategic agenda, the highlights of which are, of course, defense and security and also economic recovery. This is why, as you mentioned, Poland has prioritized the EU funds, which are considered primarily investment funds that have been building up the miraculous progress Poland has experienced over the past 30 years. But also, there are a lot of expectations about Poland standing firm on principles of defending, protecting, and developing democracy. Then the democracy defense package that has been simultaneously launched by the European Commission during this week, just ahead of the summit, should be a timely example of where Poland's role will be. Part of that package is a directive on transparency of interest representation on behalf of third countries, which is a proposal directly relating to the events that happened 1 year ago in the so-called Qatar Gate, but will be and has been already quite clearly implemented by in the country-by-country level. And Hungary has implemented its own FARA law that is nothing like the intention of the Commission. It is to undercut the independent, autonomous media and NGOs primarily, and to allow more foreign interference in the government affairs. But these topics will be put now much more into the spotlight thanks to the process of rebuilding democracy in Poland. And I think and I expect that Poland will actually not just want to, but will have to explain a lot why Polish democracy matters and why building it back matters so much for Europe, Europe's future, and Ukraine as well. After all, the whole negotiation and the package of economic and security support for Ukraine is closely tied to the direction of embedding the country in peaceful, secure and democratic order that Europe has developed over the past years and is vouching to protect and develop even further.
I have to agree with you and Ambassador Reiter about the time changing, but of course it's not only about Poland, it's also about Europe, about the US, Global South. Basically everything has changed since 2015. And right now Poland will not have an easy task doing this. Prime Minister Tusk and MFA, the longest serving MFA who's back in the office, Radosław Sikorski, they already said that they would travel to Washington in January. And this will and should be a trip not only as of the voice of Poland saying, hello, we are back and we are going to fight back for the democracy and rebuild democracy, but this should be a trip saying we are here as Europeans from the center of Europe, from the heart of Europe. We talk to European leaders and we are talking to you right now, Washington, but not only Washington, US as general, to maybe show not only the American leaders, but also American citizens that Europe really matters. And the presidential rally that is just about to begin is going to be of greater importance for the world and for Europe, not only for the USA.
That message must be heard, as you rightly pointed out, in the critical year of the US elections that will determine much of European security and our common Western future. I rest assured that there will be attention to what Poland has to say. I only hope that the moment will be utilized right. And for all the other scenarios, I invite you to read out our report, which is how European democracies are to survive in the age of Trump, that has been published earlier this year and has been fueling much of our conversations, and it will still continue to drive our conversations with policy, civil society experts and businesses across Central Europe and the EU.